You don't sit around a fire and just go, oh, I accidentally stoked the fires. I don't know what I was doing. I just caught myself. No, it don't work that way, does it? No, you look down, you see that the fire is going out. You're intentional about it. And number two, you're consistent about it. So this is stuff that's got to be intentional, and it's got to be done regularly. Right? We got to stir up and keep stirring up the gift of God that he has put on the inside of us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody besides me ever had a point in life where you gave your life to Christ and you were excited, but then maybe a day came where, man, your salvation didn't seem to be all that exciting anymore? Well, that's because you haven't been fueling the fire. Let me rephrase that. That's because we have not been fueling the fire. I've been there. And I don't like it. I do not like getting lukewarm. I do not like getting low burn. I was thinking about these things this week, and the Lord kind of pointed something out. Sometimes you get that piece of wood that on the outside it looks like it's been all burnt, but then really there's more wood on the inside. But what was on the inside wasn't able to be burned because everything, the fire got so low that it just let everything get cool. But this is what the Lord showed me. He says, but have you ever noticed? Because I've actually done this. You put more fuel on the fire. You get the fire raging again. Then you take those pieces that still have some wood in them beyond all the black char on the outside, and you put it in with the fire. And then when it's in there enough, then it catches fire again. And it actually becomes one of the burning embers. Isn't that good? Sometimes you just need to get around some people that are on fire. Come on, you need to get some fuel, but you just need to be, and people are like, why is church so important? Come on, you need to be around people that are on fire for God. And that's us, right? We're stirring it up. We're going to stir it up, and we're going to be so on fire for God that, man, a dry, dead piece of wood, a low-burn believer, come in, they may be burning so low, they're not even saved anymore. But they can come in here and something's going to spark and they're going to go, whoa, 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 what was that? Well, dude, that was the presence of God. Whoa, whoa, what's going on here? and what I'm not, hopefully, and we're probably not going to see people doing this all the time, but on the inside, their spirit's going to, whoa, I just felt sparked again. And then they're going to get excited about God. Amen. And we want it, come on, we're going to get the burning. We're going to get the burning. Amen. I forgot my Bible's over here. Okay, let me grab it. All right, before Caitlin tries to take my Bible, I know how she works. All right, praise the Lord. Are you ready? Yeah. All right, I gotta go quickly because I've already used up a lot of my time, but that's all right. God is good, and is he worth your time? Amen. Glory to God. All right, go with me to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Glory to God. I don't know about you, man. I'm excited about this series. Oh, my goodness. I mean, in the spirit, I can see you guys starting to spark out on me. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to be like those, when you're sitting around a fire, and then, all of a sudden you'll hear this pop and a big old spark will be flying off. That's going to be us. That's the difference, church. Oh, there's one of those difference church people. They're sparking off again. Come on. We're going to be sparking off and try to light somebody else on fire. Amen. Glory to God. The thing is, people, when you start talking about fire, we need to really rein in our thoughts, because when you start talking about fire, a lot of people tend to go to the negative, because we've seen so many forest fires, especially in where we live. People are like, fire, no, because we don't want forest fires. And, but originally, fire is good. Fire is good. Did you know engines can't run without fire? All the manufacturing we see today is by fire, right? Back in the day, that's how they did everything, was by fire, right? Fire warmed them at night, right? It cooked their food. Ask the pioneers who came out down the Oregon Trail. Ask them if they would rather do without fire. They'll be like, no, thank you. We like being around the fire at night to warm our hands and to make our coffee and to cook our steaks and to warm our beans and all these kind of things. So fire is a really, really good thing, right? And the fire of God is no exception. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. Watch this. It says, does not my word burn like fire? Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces? The first fuel we're going to talk about is the word of God. The fuel of the word, or being fueled by God's word. Being fueled by God's word. The Bible is so valid. And the Bible is so important. And too many churches these days, they've got to kind of, a lot of them are getting over to inspirational teaching. Inspirational preaching. And that's all well and good, and there's a place for that. But we can't have just inspirational preaching. In other words, what is inspirational preaching? Inspirational preaching is more or less, it's a feel-good message. It gets you jacked up, and you're like, yeah, glory to God. But nobody ever took time to help you to get a foundation, so you have nothing to really stand on. Right? Inspirational preaching can get you excited in the moment, but inspirational preaching don't always do what it needs to do, what needs to be done to help you to stay steady when things aren't going so well. So it's not good enough just to get excited. How many know you ever watched those exercise programs at the beginning of the year and you're like, yeah, insanity. That's an old one, but still. It was still insane and still is, right? And we get all excited about the exercise programs and all this kind of thing. Or maybe you see some business prospect on YouTube or Facebook or on TV or whatever. And you get all excited about it. So you order everything that they've got. People do that with teaching materials from Christian ministries. They, oh, that is so good. And they order everything that they got on it. And I love that. I can't wait till that gets here. And then it gets here, and they're like so excited because it showed up to the door. The UPS man was their favorite person of the day. So excited they got all this material. Did you know that being inspired to buy it and order it and to get it to your house is not even close to getting you to being what it says you can be? You got to have some substance. You got to get in there and study the material. You've got to watch the videos. You've got to exercise with the videos. Yeah. Not watching the videos, eating potato chips and Twinkies. Now that does sound a whole lot more fun. I must admit, but that is not going to get you in good physical condition or even healthy condition, right? And getting all the materials from the people who made these grandiose comments about starting a business is not going to do you any good if you don't get in there and do the work to actually start the business, right? So there's work involved, isn't there? And there's going to be work involved in this. Why do we treat the things of God like we would call a person an idiot who ordered a bunch of stuff to start a business but never did anything to start the business? Well, what are you being lazy? What's your problem? What if I said that to you? Why are you not doing this? What are you being lazy? What's the problem? Uh-oh. It felt like there was a little bit of a tone change. Come on, guys, listen. When I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me too. Right? So anyway, but let's look at this. So the first fuel we're going to talk about is the fuel of the word. But I love this passage. He says, does not my word burn like fire? Does not my word burn like fire? Is it not like a mighty hammer? I like that. It's like a mighty hammer. We're going to take the word of God. This is why the word of God is so important. Because if you'll get enough of, one guy said it this way, if you'll get enough of the word, if you'll read the word long enough, it will heal you. If you get enough of God's word long enough, it will heal you. It will help you. The word of God will make you look smart. Amen? It'll make you look smart. Hallelujah. But he says here, does not my word burn like fire? Says the Lord. Hallelujah. Go with me to back up a page or two to Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. It says, but if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. That's where we get the phrase, like fire shut up in my bones. Come on. God's word, we should be excited about God's word. You've got to come to the place where you have decided, I love the Bible. I love the word of God. Because this book hasn't changed a bit since the day, nor has it depreciated a bit since the day it was written. Since the day God anointed those writers to put down all this stuff for us to read and give us examples, it hasn't depreciated a bit. You know, a car, you buy a car and it depreciates as soon as you crank it up and drive it off the lot. I mean, it you try to turn around and sell it for the same price? Heck no, man. I'll give you about $10,000 less. Now, cars and different things, but God's word never depreciates. We've got to get back to having what Rick Renner calls having a revival of the Bible. Too many ministries and churches are getting away from the full teaching of the Word. Nobody wants to teach on hell anymore. That is one of the greatest injustices to humanity than you could ever find. Including all the stuff that's going on in our nation and the world today. There's a lot of injustices we see, you know, that are pretty bad. But that is the greatest injustice to humanity, to not teach people that there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. Because rather they want to believe it or not, they can teach against it all they want to. It doesn't change the fact that it still exists. It's like an atheist can say there is no God, but that just shows you how foolish he is. Because there is a very real God in a very real heaven, in the very real kingdom of heaven, and he is very real to us. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. But he says that his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. That's the way I feel sometimes. It's like, man, the word's just burning in me. It's like, I got to find somebody to talk to. It's usually Heather or Avery or Amy when she was here. And you know, I just kind of go in, and whatever they had going on, it's like I kind of interrupt what they're doing, and we start talking. Virgie gets a lot of that, you know. Hallelujah. But, man, we got to get the word. We got to be so in love with God's word that it's like it just burns, and it's like trying to burn a hole to get out, right, in a good way. Got to share it. Got to tell somebody about Jesus. Got to tell somebody about what God has been doing in my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's go to Matthew. Not Matthew. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to, all right, I got to kick it up a notch here. But hey, the Holy Spirit had some stuff he wanted to do earlier, didn't he? And we're all about what he wants to do. All right. That doesn't mean I'm going to keep you here all day, but, you know, I do like yielding to the Holy Spirit. All right. You don't really have anything better to do, do you, than to, you know, learn about God and how he wants you to be on fire for him? All right, let's look at this real quick here. Verse 15, Luke 24, did I tell you that? Luke 24, verse 15. I'm going to kind of jump down the passages. We're not going to read all this for time's sake, but verse 15, it says, as they walk, now this right here, this is after Jesus had died on the cross, buried in the tomb, raised from the dead, right? And here the guys are, they're walking along. Verse 13 says that same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking in the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. Okay, so here we caught, let's caught you up to verse 15. Verse 15, it says, as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from knowing that it was him, right? But here he is. So here's Jesus walking along with these guys, you know, no doubt having some conversation. We know he did because he goes on to say that he says in verse 17, and he asks them, hey, what are you guys discussing so intently as you walk along? So here's Jesus talking to them, and they're discussing. We'll go down to verse 27. It says, then Jesus took them, watch this. Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets. Jesus took them through the writings. So all the time they're walking, Jesus is telling them about the writings of Moses and all the prophets. And he's explaining from all what? The scriptures. I mean, no, if it's important for Jesus and them to do that, it may be just behoove us a little bit to pay attention to the word. Right? Says, then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jump down to verse 31. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. Can you imagine that? You're walking along and all of a sudden, at just a moment, you realize, oh my gosh, this is Jesus. Poof, he's gone. Man, if I'd have known it was him, I had so many questions. I'm sure that was their thought. That's probably why he disappeared. Man, I don't even want to get into all that. Poof, I'm gone. You know? But anyway, watch this, though. It says, suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't our hearts, why? As he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us. See, we should come in every Sunday, man, I can't wait till we get to the preaching of the word. Oh, man, my heart just burns to hear what God has for me today. That's the way we should live our lives. Oh, Lord. I'm that way throughout the week, man. I'm like, oh, I'm looking for a time that I can put on a good teaching. As I'm driving around or if I'm in my office or whatever I'm doing, it's like, oh, man, I just want more. Give me more. Give me. Was that football player's like? Was that Ezekiel Elliott does that thing? Feed me, feed me, feed me. He's talking about give me the ball, but I'm like, give me the word, give me the word, give me the word, give me the word, give me the word. Ah. Give me the word. Reveal yourself to me, Lord. Show me more. Hallelujah. All right. All right, let's look at this. Now, this word burn, he says, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? That word burn in the Greek means this. It means to ignite. Didn't our hearts get ignited as he explained the scriptures to us? It means to be set on fire. Didn't our hearts get set on fire when Jesus was explaining the scriptures to us? Amen. It means to be consumed with fire. Didn't our hearts become consumed with fire as he explained the scriptures to us? Amen. They didn't say, didn't our hearts burn with fire as he was walking along with us? See, it's not good enough just to be a Christian. Right? We've got to hunger for the word. Lord, give me this should be our prayer. Lord, give me a desire. Give me a desire for your word. Help me to hunger for your word more and more and more. Amen. But this is one thing that I've noticed about creating a hunger is tasting something. You taste something and it makes you want more of it. Remember what David said? He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. Amen. Martin Luther said this. He says, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. See, the Bible is the only book on the planet ever, past, present, or future. There's the only book on the Bible that you don't just read, but it reads you. Come on. You get in there and what happens? You begin to think of like, oh, man, my life don't quite line up to that. Well, God didn't put it there for you to go, I'm worthless. I'm such a horrible Christian. I don't amount to anything. I'll never make a good Christian. No, that's not why he put it there. He put it there so it would stir your heart to come more after him. When you read something, I've said it so many times, when you read something in the Bible that is contrary to what you've always thought or believed to be true, either you're wrong or the Bible's wrong. I'm going to go with what the Bible says. Unapologetically. I've made the decision that when I read something in there, if there's something in my life that is contrary to what I just read, immediately I go into change mode. Lord, help me to change that. Help me to shore that up. Help me to right the ship. Help me to fix that, Lord. I don't want to be in contradiction to your word. I don't care what how impossible my mind might say that it is. If God says I can do it, bless God, I can do it. Quit going around saying, oh, I just can't. Oh, I could never do that. Oh, because we come and talk to some of you from time to time and trying to encourage people to get involved in different areas. Oh, I don't know if I could do that. Yes, you can. Get that I don't know if I could do that out of your vocabulary. That's not even God talk. It says actually devil talk because he wants to make you think you can't do anything. But he's such a big liar. He's such a big liar. If God says you can do it, you can do it. It seems like there's a verse in Philippians somewhere. Somewhere around, chapter 4, verse 13. Says something along the lines of, I can do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do it. You can do it. Hallelujah. All right, let me give you this real quick. I got to go quick. Okay. Closing number one. Okay. Let me give you this real quick. Seven fiery effects from the Word of God. Ready? Here we go. Number one. As fire brings warmth, God's Word brings warmth and comfort in times of difficulty. As fire brings warmth in the natural, God's Word brings warmth and comfort in times of difficulty. Number two. As fire transforms a region where it is burning, we know about that. As fire transforms a region where it is burning, God's Word transforms us by the Holy Spirit. So just because your life is a certain way, don't tell me God can't transform it. He can. All right? Number three, as fire has melting power. How many know fire has melting power? Right? As fire has melting power, God's Word can melt any heart. Amen, isn't that good? Number four, as fire is in the natural, burns garbage and other things, God's word burns debris out of our lives. That's why I say you get enough of God's word long enough, it'll cleanse you, purify you, heal you, deliver you, bless you, provide for you, set you free, whatever you need. It'll give you peace, it'll give you joy where you didn't think that was even possible. God can remove all the doubt and all the junk, all the unbelief, all that garbage out of your system, and you're just going to be like lit for God. Amen. That's an old term, I know. Was that about five? That's so 5 years ago. Yeah, I'm feeling a little nostalgic today, Avery. Is that okay? All right. I'll hear about this later, guys. Pray for me. All right, number five. Number five, as fire is a purifier, God's word will purify your soul and cleanse you. I'm going to give you about three scriptures on that, but I'm not going to have you turn to them. I didn't even give them to him for him to look them up. I'm just going to read them to you. You can write them down and look them up later if you want to. As fire is a purifier, God's word will purify your soul and cleanse you. Psalm 119, verse 9, I'm reading all this out of the New King James. It says this, it says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. By obeying your word. Talking about God's word. John chapter 15 and verse 3 says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Amen. It's a purifier. You get a, you know, it's like, it's. Me and my son was talking a few weeks ago, and you know, we was talking about these things, and I reminded him, like, you know, when I like taking these little sauce cups that I put sauce in for my, you know, barbecue sauce or whatever at home, and then when I go to wash it, it's always fun for me. I take it and I set it in the sink, and I just turn the water on, and then I walk away and let it do its thing, and it's called the law of displacement. As the water goes in, eventually it pushes out all, it even softens the stuff on the sides and eventually washes it out. So when you come back, you look, you can't even see that there's a trace of sauce in it anywhere. Why? Because as the water goes in, it displaces all that. Same thing with the Word of God. That's why I like doing that, because it just reminds me of this, that as we put the Word of God in, it will, the law of displacement will take effect, and it will begin to wash out all the junk that's inside. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So it's called the law of displacement. So as you put the Word of God in, it washes all the junk out. The Bible in Ephesians calls it the washing of the water by the Word. Amen. You feel like you have doubts and fears or whatever, start pumping in the truth of God's word. I promise you those fears and doubts will begin to dissipate. Because faith comes by hearing. So faith comes by hearing. It's a present tense action verb. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And your hearing should be coming by the word of God. That's what Paul said. Right? All right. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 says, therefore, having these, everybody say these promises.
These promises.
Say promises. Say the promises are the word of God. All right. Keep that in mind. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves by having these promises. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How does it happen? By these promises. By having these promises. By having the Word of God flowing into our life. Amen? All right. So number six. Let's get on to number six. Number six. As fire is a source of illumination, God's Word will illuminate your life. As fire is a source of illumination. Right? Remember, light the torch. And it's before the days of flashlights. Flashlights seem so much easier, and a little bit easier to direct down the road, but just like they had torches, they would light those torches to light their path. As fire is a source of illumination, God's word will illuminate your life. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet." Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of your words. Now, it didn't say, it's not talking about if I'll just get in there and read the Bible. It says that it didn't say the entrance of me into the word. It says the entrance of your word. In other words, as we read, we want the word to get into us. So as we meditate upon the word of God, Joshua 1:8 says, meditate day and night upon the scriptures, that you may be observed to do all that is written in. Then your way will be made prosperous. Then you will have good success. See, we want everything after the then without doing everything before the then. Right? We don't want to have to meditate on the word. That word meditate actually means to mutter, to ponder over and over and over again. It doesn't mean, That's not the meditation it's talking about. It's talking about pondering the scriptures over and over, mulling them over. In cow life, it's called chewing the cud. They eat it, then they upchuck it, and they chew it some more. See, so when you hear the word, you need to upchuck it a little bit. Don't just let it go straight to the intestines. I miss that flavor the first time. I miss that revelation the first time. You guys will never forget this. You ever seen some of these commercials that they do and you're like, oh my gosh, that's such a stupid commercial, but you're still thinking about it. That's the point of the marketing. It's make it memorable some way or somehow. I just made that memorable for you. You're welcome. Okay. All right, number seven. Let's do number seven. Number seven. As fire empowers the engines to operate, God's word empowers those who believe it. As fire empowers engines to operate, God's word empowers those who believe it. Psalm 119, verse 28 says, my soul melts with heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. The Bible says that God's word is strength to our life. So we need to hunger for the word. Amen? That help anybody today? Go ahead and stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. The fuel of the word. Let me say this. There's a reason we started with this. Because this is your primary source of fuel, not a secondary source of fuel. Reading good Bible-based books, that's all fine. But that's not your diet. Those are supplements. Your diet is the word. As a human body needs physical food, your spirit man needs spiritual food. And God's word, Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. We've got to have a hunger for God's word. And when the enemy's telling you don't have time to read a little bit, say, you're a liar, I have plenty of time. I have plenty of time to read God's word. If you say you're too busy to read God's word, you are absolutely 100% correct. You are too busy. So don't allow your life to be so consumed. So what a lot of people do is they say, okay, I've got my life. Okay, I've got the Bible. I need to read the Bible and see if I can find some time in my schedule for the Bible. And they fit the Bible reading and meditating on the word around their schedule. Oh, I can't seem to find a slot to fit it into. No, you start with the Bible and you build your schedule around that. And I am speaking to present company included. I have to do that too. And it's easy. You're a pastor. Yeah, I am a pastor. And it is, and because I'm a pastor, it is extremely easy to allow a lot of other things, a lot of other good things, and maybe some not so good things. Right? In other words, things that are just burning my time. But it's easy to have a lot of good things that consumes my time and it makes me feel like, oh, I've got to check on this person. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to get this taken care of. Oh, I've got to get this. It can be all these things, but none of those things. And I said, none of those things are near as important as the Word. And so I have to recalibrate. I have to recalibrate my thinking sometimes and go, no. The Word is the most important thing in my day. It is the most important thing in my day. Don't tell me you don't have 5 minutes to read the Word. That would be a lie. You know you've got 5 minutes to read the Word. Some of you go to the bathroom way longer than that. Got plenty of time to read the Word. Put down the fishing magazine and grab the Bible. We all have time, don't we? We've all got time. Come on, make God's Word the most important thing in your day. Amen. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, I love you.